this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say,
place on the mountain. You know, you could go up to Mount Lemmon, and it's beautiful up there.
Yes, sir, it is.
Some seasons it's green, and some seasons it has some snow on the cap on the mountain. But it's the vegetation that's around it that grows. But if you actually go up on the mountain itself, there's not a whole lot that grows up there. But it's beautiful. It has its place. It has its purpose. And so does it when it comes to our lives as Christian. You know, as we were writing, and I just think of Brother Jesse, and I don't know, some of you know a lot that he's gone through physically, but as we were riding up yesterday or coming back, and Brother Jesse, I think, was going, and Brother Jesse just shared with Pastor and I really what happened to him on the surgical table. Wow. You think that someone would take your heart and just kind of set it aside. And then they go to put it back in. They actually, I guess this would probably be the proper medical term, but they actually bump his heart or scratch it in a way that it shouldn't have. And he ended up having a seizure in between all of that. Simone said, "You ain't got it right, so I shouldn't tell it. I'll let him tell it." I may not be telling it right, and I apologize to that, and it's not because I take it lightly. But I just think it's just a miracle. And he would vouch for it as well, how God worked in his life. And there are many miracles that happened in our lives. And one of the greatest miracles that ever could happen in a life is a person who does not know Christ as Savior, who were coming to get saved. And we think about how they would get saved and it would change their lives. And as it changes their lives, then God is not finished with that life. It's just the beginning. And I see the young lady that made a decision this morning, and I'm not trying to embarrass, I'm not trying to put her on the spot. That's not what I want to do. But I want to say, it's just begun.
Yes, sir.
It's just begun. And it's not going to be a bed of roses, because roses have thorns. And the thorns will bring back some painful things to those that are touching and those that are around it. And a lot of times we don't even realize that, as one of the things I think about what happened at the men's conference is when we make decisions and we ask for things that we want and we get what we want, but we lose so many things. And we don't realize in losing all of those things that we lose, the value of what they are that we give up for something that we get. And then when we get it, you ever been there and it wasn't what you thought it would be? Amen? And it brings you disappointment. But one of the things that happened in my life, as I shared this morning, when my wife and I had an opportunity to go to a place in Torrejón, Spain. And that event that took place in my life was to come to know Christ as my Savior.
Yep.
And that was the greatest decision that I could ever have made. And I didn't give up anything but an old wretched life. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a new life.
Yes, sir.
And I gained so much by giving that to him. And as we looked at this morning, we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, where Paul is introducing us and encouraging other churches. And I believe he's encouraging us today about the benefits and the blessings that come with knowing Christ as Savior and what we can have a part in what is, I've said many times, the heartbeat of God.
Amen.
Is that we would be a people that would get involved in what is so important to him, and that is spreading the gospel around the world and give to worldwide evangelism or give to worldwide missions giving. And we do it by faith, by trusting God to give to us and give through us that he might accomplish that which he wants to do in places that we cannot go and things that we cannot do apart from God. And it is just the beginning here as we look at it tonight. I want us to take our Bibles and on the stand. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, and I want to try to finish up this thought as we talked about the characteristics of giving in this church that took place. And I shared with y'all this morning as why I give to missions is why I give to missions, because every time that we talk about missions, I come to this passage of scripture, and I've heard it many of times in many of ways over 15 years of being saved by the grace of God. And I've heard this preached in by many men in so many ways. But you know what? It has never, ever gotten to where I didn't want to hear it again and didn't want to hear what they had to share from it. But it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and a deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering up to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he hath begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in all and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to perform a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man have, and not according to that he have not. For I mean not that others men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there be equality. As it is written, he that have gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for this passage of scripture and this church, and what a great testimony and example that they are to us even today, and how they got involved with what I believe with all of my heart that has always been the heartbeat of you. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we might glean just another truth here tonight, that it will be a blessing to us as we look forward to our 2016, going into year 2017's missions conference, that these messages that we'll hear in the next few days will perk our hearts about the importance of being involved in worldwide evangelism and carrying forth the gospel in places that we cannot go. But we know if we submit ourselves to you, that you could use this church in a mighty way in the days to come. And how we pray that you speak to us tonight through your messenger, Lord, that you give us the message that you want us to hear, hearts that will be opened and tender to the things that would be said. Be with our pastor and his family and those that are under the sound of the preaching of his voice, that they would be willing to listen as well and be acceptance of that which would be said. Bless now, I pray, in our presence here tonight. We ask these things now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. As we talked about this morning, I was sharing with you why I give to missions. And one of the reasons that I give to missions is because it was because of a missionary that was called to the missions field that my wife and I got saved. And what a tremendous time it was in our lives. And it was so many things that we learned as Christians as we continue to grow in the Lord. And one of the first things that we learned about the Christian life was that we need to give ourselves to the Lord. But we learned something about missions and about missions giving. And I am I'm a believer in giving to missions because it was because of a missionary church that was in place that I heard the gospel and I got saved. And as I said this morning, it would be my greatest desire until the Lord take me home that I would always want to be involved in missions and missions giving, because I'm indebted to someone that God used in a mighty way that made a difference in my life. And as I think about all of those years that we were involved in it, and we still plan to be involved in it, and one of the things, if we're going to continue to give to missions, I believe one of the verses that's always stood out in my heart and in my mind is Peter writes to in the book of Peter, 2 Peter. And I think about in my life when I first got discipled, and one of the things that it taught me in verse number 18 of 2 Peter chapter 3, and I believe that every one of us as Christians ought to be wanting to do, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. If I'm going to grow and continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to be growing in such a way that I can continue to trust God by faith to give to missions, because that is what I believe that God wants me to do. I want to grow in that grace. I want to grow in my knowledge of him, because when we grow in the way that God wants us to grow, we learn how to trust him just a little bit more. And not only we trust him with the trials and the tribulations and the things that we go to, we can trust him financially to provide for us, because he promises us that he will do that. We can never outgive God. And if we're going to carry out the great commission that God has commissioned us to do, and if we turn over this morning and we looked at Matthew 28 and verse 18, 19 and 20. And he says this, and Jesus came and spake unto his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he was telling us and giving the disciples a commission of something that he wanted them to do. But it's still applicable to us today, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And the call was not just to those disciples, but the call is to us. So how can we do all of that at the same time? We can do that by getting involved in missions and missions giving. Those that would be called to the field, that would go out and plant churches, and those that would go out and spread the gospel in places that we cannot go. We pledged last year $73,000. We're looking at reaching the goal of $92,000. And I believe if we're going to reach that goal this year, we got to be faithful to it. And if we're going to do better than we did last year, we got to be doing it by faith. But we need to be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if we're growing the way that we ought to, we ought to be able to trust God just a little bit more than we did last year. And not to say that everybody will, but it ought to be a thermometer as to where your faith is and how you've grown in the Lord. If you can trust God a little bit more each year in faith promise giving, as you would pledge this year, as we look forward to exceeding even that amount. And you say, how can we do that? It has to be by faith.
That's right, Pastor White.
It has to be by faith. And when you try to measure it, it is not something that can be measured. You can't measure somebody else's faith. You can only be measured by the faith that you have. God has given each one of us a certain amount of faith when it comes to trusting him. And he builds our faith through that which he takes us through. And we learn how to trust him just a little bit more. And I want to trust him financially. I want to trust him with my life. I want to surrender my life to him so that God can still use me in the days to come to give to Faith Promise Missions as we look forward to this new year of things happening. And so when we go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and we go to chapter number 8, we come back here and we looked at it this morning and talked about some things that I say is why I give to missions. When I look at the book of 2 Corinthians and how Paul is writing and sharing the example of the church of Macedonia, we talked about here they had looked at the church of Macedonia as Paul is writing. I believe they came to the realization of the fact of what God had done in their lives. They realized it was because of the grace of God in their lives that they were saved. They were able to be part of the gospel spread around the world by supporting these other churches that were struggling financially. They were willing to give their finances to the churches to help them along. And the realization of it, we're saved by the grace of God, and it's because of God's grace that we ought to have that same desire and come to the same revelation that they did, or the realization that they did. And all that they were going through, even the poverty and how poor they were, they still wanted to get involved with what God's plan was, and that was reaching a lost and dying world. So we saw that. And we saw the expectations. He said, don't just talk about it. I want you to get involved in it. And the first expectation was that they gave, when they gave and they came to the realization, was that they gave of their own selves. And when we give ourselves to God, he'll have our pocketbook. When we give ourselves to God, he'll have our hearts. And if he has our hearts, he'll have our purse. Amen. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your hearts be also. Amen. And if God has that, he has what he needs that he could use you in the days to come. And as we looked at it also, we saw that they were willing to do this. And we come down here to another area of scripture that I thought was so incredible when he talks about what he's doing. He says, I'm not commanding you to do it, because faith promise giving is not a command. It's not something that God is going to make you do. It has to be that you believe that God would have you to be involved in faith promise giving, and it's by faith. It may not be something that you already have, but you believe that God would give you what it is that he will lay on your heart to give to missions, because he wants to give that through you. And that's what happened to them. They gave beyond their power. And he talked about that. And he said, I didn't speak about commandment. But also the inspiration that we ought to have to do that, as we see in verse number 9. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. Amen. That we might be rich through his poverty, because he was willing to leave all of heaven's glory to come and die on a cross for your sin and for mine. And that ought to inspire us, motivate us to want to do the same thing that he did, because he was willing to sacrifice all that he had the privilege of having to come and bring us back into the right relationship with him, because that's what God wants us to do. And that is the ultimate goal of faith promise giving, is to get the gospel around the world, to carry out the commission that God has commissioned us as a church to do. He wants us to carry it out. And Paul is reminding us, even in this verse, about what Christ did. And it goes back to verse number one, because it was, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit by the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This same grace was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And it was because of God's grace that they were excited about getting involved in faith promise giving. And we left off talking about this inspiration. And I want us to pick it up tonight, and we're going to finish out this area here and go into another different area maybe tonight, but I think we'll wait until Wednesday night to bring that to your attention. But when we think about here of what God is wanting us to do, the inspiration here that we ought to have, let me say this. The work of Christ is the finest example and the inspiration for service known to mankind. There's nothing like it. It's beyond our imagination that I could think about that God would love you and I so much that he would come and die for your sin and for mine. You know what? He didn't get nothing special, but we got something fantastic. Amen. When we got a Savior that was willing to do what he did. And Paul here shows us the right motivation for Christian service. The first verse refers about the churches of Macedonia and how they got involved. And here Paul gives us an example of Jesus Christ as an inspiration for giving. It ought to be the thing that motivates us. And as is noted earlier in this church, that was the thing that got them excited about giving to Faith Promise Giving. You know, when you get saved, there ought to be something different about you. You ought to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me say this, when I think about faith promise giving, we don't give you no gimmicks. We don't have no special incentive to try to get you to do something. Amen. We want you to do it because you love God. Amen? Because if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ because you experience his love for you, you ought to do what you do for Jesus Christ because you love him. Not because we can come up with some gimmick as to why you ought to give. That's not what we're going to do. Because if you do it because of the gimmicks, you'll never be faithful to it. But if you would give it because you believe that's what God would have you to do, and because you love him, you'll be faithful in doing that. And when you don't do it, you'll feel bad about it that you're not doing. Don't do it for the pastor. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for the preacher. Don't do it for Brother Baldwin when he comes. Amen. Do it because you love God. Amen. And that is the greatest inspiration that we ought to have when it comes to faith promise giving. I'm going to give what I give. I'm going to do what I do because I believe in missions giving. I got saved from a missions church. I want to give because I love God and because God has blessed in my life in so many ways and so many facets and facets of my life that I want to be involved in what he wants me to be involved in when it comes to my Christian life. Because I want to show him how much I love him and how much I appreciate what he's done for me. So that is the inspiration that Paul wants us to have here because of what they were doing. And God has a specific way of doing things, because I've heard people say, and I know somebody that left this church with this idea in mind. Why should I give my tithe? They were just talking about my tithe. Why should I give my tithe when other people are not giving their tithe?
That's right, Pastor.
You know what? If you feel that way about the tithe, just keep it. Amen. I'm not going to give my tithe, and I'm not picking on Brother Sam. I'm just looking at him because he's looking at me. I'm not going to give what I give because of what Brother Sam does. Amen. I'm going to give what I give because it belongs to God, the tithe does, and the missions that's given above that for the faith promise giving, I'm going to give it because I believe that's what God would have me to do. Not because of what he does or what he doesn't do. Because Sam is going to stand before the Lord because of what he do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand before God one day because of what I've done.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen. And so will you.
Yes, sir.
Because God is giving you the privilege of being involved and seeing somebody else get saved. How selfish could we be when we got saved because of somebody else's faithfulness to God, to have a church that was mission minded, that was involved in missions, and you didn't want to get involved in it. But you want to live off the fruit of the land or the fruit of the tree of the blessings of other people, and you don't want to participate and be involved in it. You're not robbing me. You're robbing yourself of God's blessing. Because when you hoard it and keep it to yourself, you won't enjoy it. It won't go as far as you think it will. It'll go a lot farther when you give it to God and let him use it. You'll have greater benefits. You'll have greater blessings because you let God take it and use it. You know what? He can use it better than you can anyway.
Yes, sir.
Because nothing that we could buy, nothing that we can accumulate is going to be of any great lasting value. Only for a little while is it going to last. I done got off on the hobby horse on that one. Amen. But however, if the grace of God does not inspire you to serve, you are seriously have a spiritual problem. The carnal gimmicks will not get you there. It's so popular today that Christianity and people want to come to church. They want to be entertained. I don't want to be entertained when I come to church. And that's not to say that I don't want to have a good time. I want to be like Pastor Sugar was telling me when the preacher was talking about being stubborn, get hit right between the eye, your toes curl up because he's stepping all over your toes because of something you're not doing. And I want to stir you up tonight. If you're not giving your tithe, you ought to. And if you're not giving to missions, you ought to. And I'm not commanding you. I'm just saying if you want the blessings of God, you ought to get on board and join in. Amen. Because somebody did it for you. Somebody thought enough of you to get involved in a church that's planted even here that you're sitting in to see missions go forward. Look at verse number 10. We looked at 9, but look at verse 10. He says, "Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do it, but also to be forward a year ago." In other words, it's expedient for us to get involved. It's expedient that you do it. Because if you put it off, you probably won't do it. The more you put off something, the less likely you are to do it. I got home last night, tired and half sleep and all that. And I get home and Teresa said, "Well, I want you to put up these blinds that she took down and she was cleaning them. Bless her heart." And I thought about it. I could be stubborn.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But I did it right away. Because I knew if I sit down, I might just get a little bit more stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
But it was expedient that I do it right away. Because I don't want to be stubborn. Amen.
Amen.
I want to be expedient and do it right away. And Paul said, "You began it a year ago. Now it's expedient for you to do it and complete it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Get involved in it. Because it is expedient that you do. You started it a year ago. And maybe we didn't complete it, but now we want to get it complete. Do it. Do it. It's expedient for you." I put that blind up and she said, "Wow, I might want to leave that down. This let a whole lot of light into the house." Amen. But that's what she wanted done. Amen. So he's exhorting us here. A year ago, the Church of Corinth had begun this project of collecting money for the poor saints in Judea. Now they are exhorted here to do what they committed themselves to doing. And when it comes to faith promise giving, if you're going to do it by faith and you committed to it, even this past year, we want to reach this goal. You need to continue to do it. You need to continue to trust him. Because you made a commitment a year ago and you're going to make a commitment this year. I pray that you will. And you ought to want to carry it out. I remember when we first started tithing, when I got saved, it was not easy to do.
Amen.
Because most of us look at it carnally. Amen. Brother Aaron speaks of it because he knows what I'm talking about. And all of us here probably know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But once you started to do it, it started to make so much sense. Because God will show you that if you do it, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord, if I would not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. It's expedient. He was saying it's expedient for you to do it because if you keep putting it off, you won't get involved in it. You might find some other things to do it. You know what? And the devil will come along and you'll see something that you don't really need and you'll buy it and you won't give the faith promise. And before you know it, your commitment, you're behind in it. It's just like the tithe. You ought to take it and give it. Amen. Because if you don't, it'll go to somewhere else. So the time here was now, and to fulfill the pledge that you do it. It's expedient here. Has the idea means to be profitable for you to do them as you said that you would. It's expedient that he's talking about here in verse number 10. But not only was it expedient, but notice the essentials here of what he wanted them to do. He says in verse 11, now perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness of will to do it, as you said that you would, so that there may be a performance out of that which you have. So the essential thing here now is not only expedient, but it's essential. If there be first a willing mind, it is essential that you, for service to God, that you do with a willing mind or heart. God does not want you to serve or to do what you're going to do and give him if you're not willing, because nobody's going to come and take it. Nobody's going to be the police offering that's going to go by and check out what you give, because it's going to be between you and God. And when the pledge cards are given out, nobody is to write their names on it. Pastor's not going to come and ask, is somebody keeping up in their faith promise? Because that's not what we do. Faith promise is by faith, and you giving it because that's between what you believe that God would have you to do. And we're not going to check up on you. But it'll show as to where the money comes in. And when you look at it, you know whether you gave your part or what you said that you were going to give. And nobody else has to tell you that, because you see it. And that's why we put it up here, so you can see exactly where we are, how it's coming in, how it's being accounted for, and what's been pledged and what's been given. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So it's expedient and it's essential that you do it. That is, God does not want the service from those who are complaining, who just do enough to get by, who do it begrudgingly, the time or the money and the energy that you have to do that service. God doesn't want it that way. He wants it to be done in such a way that you won't complain about it. I will tell you, I've never complained about writing out what God belongs to God. I look forward to it. If you think about it, God gives you the opportunity to have 90% of your income. He's only asking for 10% of it. And what you do with the other 90%, that's between you and God. And what happens, as I said this morning, I realized as I got saved, there were so many things that I needed to give up that really wasn't that hard to do when you think about the value of the things that you spend your money on. Because we get so caught up in worldly things, it makes it hard for us to give cheerfully. It makes it hard for us, and we give it grudgingly. Or it makes it hard for us to give it because we're not managing what God has blessed us with. And I found out this. It made me refocus on the value of the things that I was spending my money on. Hear me out. Because a lot of times when you go to the store, you know, if you don't make a list of the things that you need to get, you go in there and you'll buy a whole lot of things that you don't even need. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It can be helpful. And I've learned that. Because if you don't, you go in there and you go to get just go in there to get some whatever, and you see the sale. They got chips at the counter. They got this on sale. They got that on sale. And you look at it, man, that's at a good price. And you buy it, you take it home, and you never use it. Y'all got them things in your house? Say amen.
Amen.
Because I do. Amen.
Amen.
But that's what happens. And a lot of times we accumulate things that we don't even use. We don't even need. I'm just being honest. I'm just being transparent. But I've learned that if you don't get caught up into everything that goes on sale, you ain't got to have it because it's on sale. It ought to be of value to you. If you purchase it, it's something that you're going to use. And buying something that's on sale is not a bad thing. I don't know how I get off on all of this anyway. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
And if you buy it, it's on sale, and it might be last year's model, but nobody else knows that. How many people you actually check their tags and see who made what suit or see who made what shirt? Most of you might recognize Gucci or all of these other brand names when you see it, and you got to clutch it so as to wait so nobody don't steal it from you. Amen?
Amen.
Jordan might come out with some new shoes this year. I ain't got to have them. Amen? And I remember when people were getting killed over those things because they buy them and people want to steal them from you. But we ought to have a good attitude, and the motivation are very essential, accepting the things that God would have us to have, the things that we need. So it is not the size of the gift, but it's the attitude that you give it to God when you give it to him. Notice what else he says, because the expectation here we find in verse 12. And I know a lot of people struggle with it. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man has, according to that he had, not because according to that he have not. God is not asking us all to give the same amount because we may not have the capacity or we may not have the ability. You may not even have the faith to give what somebody else give. But God wants you to have, first of all, a willing mind to give not that which you do not have, but give out of that you do have. Because he can multiply it and make it go farther than you and I ever could. And that's how good God is when it comes to giving. So we all are not on equal grounds in doing the same thing, but we ought to do it with the same desire, the same attitude that we want to be a part of what God is doing. If God wants you to give a lot, then you ought to give a lot. If the desire that you would only give a little, don't be stingy, give a little. But it ought to end up being a lot, amen? Something that God can use. The equality here has the idea, means that men are not to be eased by you giving and made fat and missionaries would sit on their duff and not do anything. That's not what God wants us to do. And I heard a report of many missionaries that would go and do that. But let me say this. They're going to have to give an account to God for what they do. And I know people, when they give their tithe, they're going to watch it when Brother Gary takes the tray. They watch it all the way to the door. And they probably would follow me to the bank if they could follow me to the bank to see that it gets deposited. But when you give it, you're giving it to God. And you trust that those that are handling it are doing what God would have it to be done with it, because I gave it to God. I'm not worried. I'm not going to worry about God can take care of those persons or people that misuse what you give. You give it because you know that it's right to give, because that's what God would have you to do. And God doesn't want us to make a person fat, dumb, and happy to do anything for him. God wants us to do it because we love him, and we want to support missionaries that are going to be out there faithful to God and not hoarding what we give them so that they can live in mansions. Because a lot of countries that you can go to, it doesn't take a whole lot of money for a person to live off, if we really think about it. But I'm not trying to measure that. I just want to be faithful to God and give what God would have me to give. And let the rest be up to God as to how it would be used. Because if I did that, then I'm not doing it for the right reason. I'm not doing it with the right motivation. Because if I'm worrying about it, then I ain't giving it with the right heart. I'm trusting God that he would work and it would be used in the right way. So this is another thing that Paul is saying too here again, because there might come a time, and I believe if he closes here, we have a desire of equality. It means that not that others men would be at ease and ye burden. Paul is not asking them to give such portions that they should make you afflicted in your giving, because they're robbing you of the opportunity of the things that you have. We need this principle of practice in regard to these religious things that people would do, because a lot of people would do those kind of things. Let's not get caught up into those things. Let's trust God. But our duty, we have a desire, we want to give. Our duty is to give it to God. And the time may come that one day somebody may have to give something to help Shining Light Baptist Church out. I pray that it never come to that, because you and I would be faithful in giving what God has required of us to do. Pay our tithe, pay our tithes and our offerings, and give those to God. And let God do what he wants done. And that's what Paul was trying to teach them, because that may happen one day. And that's where the equality came in that he's talking about. That they should practice and do this. And then as Christians, or the churches at Corinth, they must help others. They must help the Corinthians get what they need one of these days, when you think about. There's a reciprocation here in the process of what he's talking about here. Our duty is to share maybe someday with somebody else. It may come back and we may need some help. And that's what he was trying to teach them when he talked about this equality in verse number 14. He says, but by an equality now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, because you're meeting their need. That their abundance also may be a supply for your wants, that they may be a equality. They may have to one day meet your needs. It's what he's talking about here when he's talking about equality. So those who have the abundance of material possessions will lose what they have when they don't use it properly. That's what happens to it. Don't build it up. Use it. One of the things that we try to do, even with the faith promise, is to make sure that each year of what's given, that we use it, so that it is accomplishing what it's there for, because of what we pledged this year it for. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's what you should do. Because you gave it by faith, and we need to make sure. Now, that might be something. We got to use some common sense as well. But you don't want to go and just spend it all. But you do want to be able to take care of missionary needs and helping. Just like we would give to the church there at Brother Serge's church back in his church. There's things that would come up that we want to have money that we would be able to help our missionaries who are already on the field. They're there because they're looking for us to support them. Not just with the monthly, but we want to be able to have something that we might give to some special needs that they may have. But you want to keep an eye on it to make sure what's coming in, that is going out the proper way. That is not to be a bank account like the tithes and the offerings. The mission account is to be used for missionary projects, for mission work. And that's what we want to do. That's how God works, and that's how God blesses. And we want to be good stewards of it in our giving, but we also want to be good stewards of using it for what it was accumulated for, or what is coming in for. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So let's do our part. Trust God by faith to continue to be involved in what is important to God. Paul gives us a church that was a great example of these churches that he was writing about. And I believe that the example is giving to us, even in this day, wonderful practices when it comes to handling finances. Because one of the things that always plague a church and a preacher is finances. What is the other S? Females. What's the other one? There's three of them. You already said that. Amen?
Amen.
Foolishness. No, I don't know if that one. I know there's three. I can't think of all three of them. But those are three things that'll plague a church when it's not done right. And finances is one of the things. Because I know this, that nobody wants to give their hard-earned dollars and say somebody just come along and just steal it and misuse of it. We don't want to do that either. But we want to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. Whether you're giving it and whether it's going out, let's be good stewards of it. But you be faithful to God, because if you love God, you want to be involved in what's pleasing to God and the things that are exciting, or those things that God wants us as Christians to do, and that is to carry out the Great Commission. You're here tonight because somebody gave to missions, and you have a place to come and worship because of missions giving. It started with your preacher. It started in my life. And a lot of us here have been in churches that were overseas, or have been involved in churches that were giving. And it's a blessing to see how the fruit has abounded unto our liberality. The fruit that's going to abound, that's going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. Because of our faithfulness in giving and giving to the Lord. and see souls saved and lives changed for all eternity. What a blessing it is tonight to see the characteristics of this church and how they were blessed because of their giving. And I want to challenge you tonight. It's all because of the grace of God. It's all because of God's grace that we ought to give what we give, because of what he has already done for us. And now he wants to do something incredible through us, is to reach a world, and we can be a part of it. That's how good God is. He wants us to be a part of what's important to him. Let's get involved in it. It's expedient. It's essential. It's expected of us. Let's do it. Amen. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house. Lord, to be again instructed from your word. And Lord, I may not have done the greatest of job with it, but I just praise you and thank you for how you've spoken to my heart. And I thank you so much that I can say tonight, this is why I've given the missions over the years, because of this area of scripture and what it has been a blessing in my life. And God, I pray that it tonight, if there be anyone here that does not know Christ the Savior, God, I pray that this would be the night that it would make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. And God, it may not have been a message totally based on of a lost soul, but that person here tonight that may not be 100% sure, they could never do the things that we're talking about when it comes to giving, because they have to come into the right relationship with you. That's why the churches that were there, that's why the churches that missions that we support are here and there, that we could be a part, because we want to see the gospel spread around the world, that we might go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever you have commanded us, that we might teach them to do those same things, that we might reciprocate ourselves through the grace of God and seeing souls saved and lives changed. Let's all stand at our feet. I'm going to ask the hymn of invitation.